Good evening. Welcome to our Sunday evening worship service here at Beach Hill. It's so good to see you all this afternoon. Also, those of you who are on Zoom with us, worshiping with us, we want you to know that it's so proud that you're able to be here before they can come back and be with us in person. Before I get to our announcements, I have a card I want to read quickly. The card says, "To my church family, I'm so thankful for all the acts of kindness shown in the loss of my sister, Kathy. I really appreciated all the texts, calls, cards, and food, but most of all, for your prayers. In Christian love, Yvonne Gamblin." If you remember Yvonne, her family, in their time of loss. This week, this Wednesday night, team meals will resume. Been a little break from those. We're excited to get back to that, have that time together before we have our Bible study. So this Wednesday, team meals will be starting back. And also next Sunday, we'll have a Super Bowl party after our PM services for all of our youth, grades 6 and up. We'll be cooking hamburgers and hot dogs. If you want to bring some desserts or chips and dips, things like that, please feel free to sign up here at the front. We'd be very appreciative of that. Also, next Sunday before our worship service at 4:45, our young guys here will be practicing to lead us in worship one day. They'll be reading scripture, singing songs, and things like that. If you're able to be here for that, it's a great time, but also make sure you put that in your calendars as well. So next Sunday at 4:45, our young guys will be practicing the regular time for worship. Then after that, we'll have our Super Bowl party for our youth here at Beach Hill. Do not forget, Fried Harmon's lectureship is this week. It's from February 6th to the 10th this week. If you still have some desserts to give, you can still take them to the fellowship hall tonight. And Ryan said he'll pick those up around 8 o'clock or so. So if you have any desserts or you want to put those over there, you still have time to do so. Please remember, we are collecting Get Well cards from Mr. Dale Bateman. If you have a card you want to put in the bag for him, it's back there in the back in the foyer. You can put it in there, or if you can bring it Wednesday night, either one, that would be great, and we'll get those to him as soon as we can. Also, a reminder for all of our youth here to bring 25 Valentine's Day cards. Those cards, along with other items, were delivered to our shut-ins here from Beach Hill on Sunday, February 13th. So just make sure you get those in those bags before then. That's 25 Valentine's Day cards from all of our youth. This upcoming Friday at 11 o'clock at Bethel, there'll be a memorial service for Laney Dickerson. He grew up at this congregation, and he has many friends here. So that's this Friday at 11 at Bethel. We're pleased to announce that Ms. Norma Hobson had a very successful procedure on Sunday, and her doctor was pleased with the results and the procedure itself. We continue to remember her in the days to come when she recovers from that. And also, we're so proud to announce that Mr. Bob Simpson's nerve block on Thursday was a success, and he's doing much better since then. Cruz Ward did have surgery this past week. Please pray for him, his recovery, but also pray for the upcoming test results and pray for his family as well. Ms. Floyd Graves let us know that she wanted to say thanks to all of you who have given her food for the visits that she's had, and also, and most importantly, for the prayers that she's had recently. We're also pleased to announce that Paul Key was released from the hospital after lung infection this past week, and he's at home recovering. And also we're proud to announce that Eloise Skelton, the mother of Sharon Childers, has been released and is at home now recovering. That's also good news to share this afternoon. We continue to remember John Diamante, whose mother passed away this past Tuesday. We've been supporting John and his missionary efforts for years here at Beach Hill. He means a lot to us, and we are thinking about him during this time of grief and loss, and continue to remember him and his effort for the kingdom in your prayers. Also, please remember Tracy Finley and her daughter Sarah Finley, both of which will be taking part in a liver transplant for Miss Tracy pretty soon, and pray with the doctors as well as make their decisions regarding the surgery. That's all in regards to announcements. So we'll have the order of worship at this time. Our opening prayer and scripture reading by Brother Bob Simpson. Our closing prayer by Brother James Willingham. The appropriate time, Brother King, will have a lesson of the hour. And please grab your song books, look at the video board as Justin McMillan leads us in singing.
Number 191, we'll sing all three verses. Number 191.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are in now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength the post. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there.
Psalm before our script reading and prayer tonight, but number 687. Let's sing the first, second, and last verses of number 687.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Please turn in your Bibles to
First Samuel chapter 8. First Samuel chapter 8. Beginning in verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make unto us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they do also unto thee. May we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all our blessings, both spiritual and material. We pray, Father, that we'd always be a thankful people and never be ungrateful. We thank you, Father, that you called us out of this world. You gave us an opportunity to be saved. You gave us opportunity for hope. We were helpless and we were hopeless, but you gave us hope through your love and your mercy. And your only son. You've brought us together, brought us out of the world, and assembled us together, as we do every first day of the week, most particularly. You've brought us into this great kingdom of your dear son, Christ, our priest, our prophet, and our king. Please forgive us, Father, of our many sins. We sin daily. Sometimes our sins are dark and black, red as scarlet. We have no hope for forgiveness except for your mercy, Father. And we thank you that you are faithful to forgive us if we will ask and repent. Father, we know that we owe a great debt that we cannot pay. It's hopeless that we could ever pay such a debt. But you have provided your only son as a lamb to pay that price. Father, there are many on our sick list tonight. Many, many who are at home. Some are in hospitals. Some are sick at home. We pray, Father, that you would be with all these people and help them and help those that care for them. Give them strength, both physical strength, that they might return unto us, and mental and spiritual strength. We ask, Father, that you would be with those people who have lost loved ones, that you would comfort them, be with their families. We pray, Father, for the elders of this congregation as they shepherd this flock. We ask that thou would allow them to always have a good mind for remembering your word, for studying your word, and for always keeping it close to their heart, because we know that that's where the answers come from to the questions that might present themselves to these men every day. We pray for the deacons, and they're often underappreciated positions, Father, and we pray that you would give them great faith and that they would not grow weary in the work that they perform. We pray for our ministers, for King and Winston. We ask, Father, that they would always boldly speak, proclaim the truth from your word. Please be with all of us here at this congregation, Father, at Beach Hill, that we might continue to assemble as long as we all are able to, that others might be brought into this flock, and that many might come to know your word and your will, that they might also be saved and be able to approach your throne of glory.
Be with us throughout this lesson tonight, Father. It's in the name of Jesus do we pray. Amen.
Song for the lesson this evening, number 775. Sing the first and last verses, number 775.
To Christ be loyal and be true, his banner be unfurled, and born a love till his secure the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true in noble service true. Your faith and your fidelity, the fervor of your love. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true.
Would mark in your song books number 459, number 459.
Those that participate with us by way of Zoom cannot see you and how many we have present. Usually that's the case. But I made a mention at about 10 minutes till 5, there were 9 of us here for service. But we have a great crowd that's come. Everybody else came in, as usually happens, and we have a good assembly here. We want those that are worshiping along with us and studying the God's Word with us by way of Zoom to know that we have a good assembly on this Sunday evening at Beach Hill. I'm opening my New Testament to the epistle of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. We're going to consider a familiar passage tonight, as we did this morning. We considered that episode in the ministry of Jesus. And so tonight, another episode, or rather another passage that's well known to you, 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. For this cause the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that when he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone who has this hope on him purifies himself, even as he is pure. To be loved with a love that is good and right and true is to be blessed by a gift of immense value. Perhaps I can safely say that everyone in this audience has known that love. We have known it from our parents. We have known it in our marriages. We have known it in friendships. We've known it through perhaps other relations in life that God has made for us, that we might be blessed, such as in the church. To be loved by such a love is a great blessing. And to give that love out of ourselves toward those whom we ought to love and toward others, because like God, we want to have love for all people. That is to fulfill what God has made us to be in our humanity. Because we are his creatures, made in his image, and as he is love, we ourselves are to reflect his love in our relationships. And this is not only an obligation, it is something that redounds to our own good. And with that in mind, consider then what John has to say about God's love for his people, for his children. We hear in these words, the gospel being declared in the declaration that the Father has bestowed upon us such love, we hear the gospel. And the translations of this passage vary somewhat. What manner of love becomes what kind of love, or how great a love? All those are true expressions of what John wrote. And then notice how he begins the verse by saying, behold this. He calls upon us to stop and to contemplate this love, to think about it. There's something you can't do in a couple of minutes and exhaust the exercise, the meaning of what he's asking us to participate in, to meditate on this love and to understand it as much as it is possible to understand it. Jesus, during his ministry, would speak about seeing and hearing. I called attention to that this morning. And in the Gospel of John, there is a special significance to this idea of being able to see, to behold, to perceive truth that is set before someone. In his ministry, that meant that truth as it was embodied in Jesus' life, his works and his words. And when one begins to see what is so plainly there, when one has the willingness to see that in Christ, that opening of the eyes, at first just a glimmer, then leads to other possibilities in that vision of seeing more and more. But if one is not interested, if one doesn't take the time to do that, then the vision is closed and all this good can never be seen. John is speaking to his fellow Christians here. They are people who do see. They have beheld, and now he's calling upon them to do this even more. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And in doing that, of course, to be affected by that truth, to let that truth have its work in our hearts and lives and to change us. So we hear the gospel in this declaration of God's love. We hear the gospel in what is implicit here in his plan for our lives that has been worked out because it has led to an identity God has given us as his children. And we see the declaration of this love and his elevation of our lives that we might be known as his children. That's a raising up of our lives to bless us in that way. All human beings are God's creation. They're all made in his image. He is the Father of spirits, but to be what he's talking about here can only happen through the gospel. And thus, in becoming his children in that special sense, we have confidence that many, many other blessings will follow. If you grew up under the care of parents who loved you, you know that there was always going to be good, and you came to perceive that more and more every day. And now you look back upon it with great appreciation. And so it is to be children of God. Every day will be a day of blessing, even as we spoke tonight and for which we gave thanks. So we hear the gospel in this declaration at the beginning of this passage. We hear something else in this passage. We hear affirmation and acceptance from God. And that comforts us, it has power to encourage us, and it draws us closer to God when we understand what he's saying to us here. This speaks of knowledge that we have of the Father and of the Son. And the knowledge includes the fact that he knows us. And knowing us, God wants us to be near him and to be comforted, encouraged, to be assured of his mercy, for which we also gave thanks. These things we have known from our first acquaintance with the gospel. John says in chapter 2 and verse 24 of this letter, "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father." This assurance, thankfully, doesn't come from our own hearts. This knowledge of God's acceptance of us, thankfully, is not a personal opinion based on our thoughts about ourselves. It's not something that we assert simply because we feel that it must be so. No, how thankful we are, this is based upon the truth that we can read in the Bible. God so loves us. He loves us as his children, and he wants us to be assured of that, to know of his acceptance. That's much better than saying that I feel that it's so or must be so. It's much better that I can read it. I can read God's own words saying this to me, and you can read the same words as his children. This is knowledge that guides us, and it shapes our lives in a fellowship. As we go forward in life, not only individually, each one in his relationship with the Father and the Son, but we go forward together. And so I look back to chapter 1 and verse 5, and I hear John say, "This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then in chapter 2 and verse 4, "He that says, I know him, and yet keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly has the love of God been perfected. And hereby we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." And this is why, as John says, the world does not know us. This is the reason for that. This is the reason the world cannot identify us as God's children, acknowledge that reality, or understand us as God's children. Because they did not know him. And not knowing him, they cannot know his children. We hear then the gospel in these words, and we hear affirmation and acceptance from God of us as his children. We hear a third thing in these words. We hear revelation of truth. John wants us to think about that. There are some things not yet made manifest, but these are things we can know. And how can we know them? Only because God has revealed them to us. He's revealed these things through the men who have been selected to bear witness of these matters. And they, guided by the Spirit, tell us these truths. And with this revelation comes assurance that gives us confidence about what? About the future. Not the future of this country, not the future of the economy, not the future of opportunities for our children and grandchildren in this society, but something much, much better. The future of our lives is God's children, not just for this world, but beyond this world. It's about God's plans for us, what will happen to us in the future. And we read here that God does have a plan for us, for our existence and blessing of us beyond this world. Now we're his children. He will not forget that when we depart from this life. Now we live in this world as his children, enjoy his blessings. He will not stop his blessings when we leave this world to enter into the existence beyond our lives here. God's love will go with us. And he will provide for us, and it will be good. And the promise of the New Testament is that free from this world, which, as John says, lies in the evil one, chapter 5 and verse 19, free from this world, circumstances, conditions, life will reach its fullness and blessing from God. It will be better. Or as Paul says, better by far. We shall be like him, says John, and we shall see him as he is. And then we hear a fourth thing in these words. We hear words of duty and motivation. And we hear that in verse 3. Everyone that has this hope on him. The idea is that hope has been placed upon our lives. And that's only possible, of course, from God and through the gospel. And everyone who has this hope on him purifies himself even as he is pure. And so again, we look at chapter 2 and verse 6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And then at the end of that chapter, chapter 2, verse 28, now my little children, abide in him, that when he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is begotten of him. So what is it that we've been given, according to John, as he speaks to his fellow Christians? We've been given the love of God, and with that love has come our identity as God's children, and the hope that we have and the confidence in that hope because of his assurance and his acceptance of us. What was the beginning of this for the lives of these people? You look back to the Gospel of John and the first chapter in his Gospel book, and John had something to say about that, about the difference that Jesus made in the lives of people, and he still does. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, he came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. The older translation says he gave them the power. But we have here a word that means not power as in the power of the gospel, Romans 1:16, but a word that means a privilege, a right. God granted us something that we could not have otherwise. He gave it to us through his Son. And it's accessible only to those who believe in his Son. To them, to us, he gave the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, that is not by human connections and relations, not by human power and effort, nor of the will of man. This is not something that originated with man and his thought and his purpose or determination, but we're born or begotten of God. A right and privilege, a way that God has provided from himself out of his love for the world, for God so loved the world. And those who have received that, and we have received it, and become his children, can have confidence in the love that God has for us. So as we read these words and we think about the Father and this love that he has bestowed upon us, we may look back in our own lives and remember how we responded to that. And we responded to it in all humility and thankfulness that God is that merciful. We responded with hearts of believing in him and in his Son. We turned to God with repentant hearts, and how gladly we answered the question or professed our faith. Yes, we believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. And we were buried with him in baptism in the knowledge of the truth that God would raise us up from that immersion to be identified with his children. And if tonight you would respond to the gospel in that way, or if as a child of God, you would come back to the God who loves you so much, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.
Is the day of salvation, tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and death in delaying, accept God's saving grace. His life on the cross he has given. Oh, come while yet you may. He's earnestly pleading, oh, make no delay. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. A home up in heaven is waiting. Oh, make the start today. Repent and confess and be baptized. There is no other way. Give Jesus your life and thus walk in his way. Tomorrow may be too late.
Again, we'd like to thank you for being here with us, especially those of you that are visiting. Please come back and be with us at any and every opportunity that you may have. If there's anyone present tonight who has not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, they're prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed at this time, and someone will be there to assist you. Our closing song tonight will be number 108. We'll sing the first and last verses of number 108, followed by our closing prayer.
My Savior's gone a mansion to prepare in yon fair lands. Adorned it will be with jewels rare, not made with hands. I know, in heaven for me a mansion stands. Morning bright and fair, I'll leave these lands with all the redeemed a crown to wear, not made with hands. I know, in heaven for me a mansion stands.
Lord, again, we come to you thanking you for this day and the many blessings that you give us, the blessings that we do not deserve, but also the blessings that you give us freely. We'd like to thank you for this opportunity to come here and worship you, the health that we've had today to be in your presence, knowing that there are many of our congregations that are not able at this time. We know that there are many on our hearts and our minds, and many has been mentioned here tonight, and we ask that you please comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Please be with us as we go about this week. Please help us be a example to those around us and a better Christian this week than we were the last. Thank you for sending your son to come down on the cross for the remission of our sins. And it's his name I pray. Amen. Thank you.